this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know.
But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Torah. I am Rabbi Tzvi Jacobson with NRM Streamcast, and we'll spend our time talking Torah, learning stuff, and having fun while we learn. You can always send your questions and comments to our mailbag at letstalktorah@gmail.com. And, of course, I will answer as many as I can. Or you can check out our amazing webpage at letstalktorah.net. That's letstalktorah.net. You can check out the archives, the new shows. You can leave your own questions and comments over there if you wish. We have somebody coming up in a couple weeks that is going to be joining the show. Also a good way to get in touch with me. And, of course, the all-important donate button. We have different levels, very important. Well, we know you love the show, we know you appreciate the show, and you got to help us have the show continue to grow. And for that, we do ask you for your help. So any amount is great. Do you want to use one of those amounts that we've suggested or your own amount? And, again, we appreciate it. You want a shout-out, you want a mazel tov, happy anniversary, happy birthday, or you just want to be anonymous, whatever works for you, of course, works for us, and we do thank you in advance. We are now in the Passover mode. Passover is right around the corner. You can smell it in the air. Or at least, if you walk into the grocery stores, you can't miss it, right? All that Passover stuff, all that matzah, and all the different boxes and stuff and potato starch and matzah meal and I don't know. They didn't send me shopping yet, but we're slowly getting ready for some major shopping. We started some, I think, yesterday. It looks like my wife made a major shopping trip this morning. I have a lot of Sunday. I have two different major shopping stuff that I got to take care of. The chickens and the meats and the eggs and the vegetables and the potatoes and a lot of schlepping and the seltzer, and it's fun. We love love Passover, Pesach. The children come. Everyone is just so excited. It's family. It's children. It's beautiful. It's just an amazing, fun, wonderful holiday. And I remember many years ago, I sat down in somebody's office. As you know, I'm a teacher. I'm a fundraiser. And my friend says to me, he says, "Rabbi, what do you want to study with me?" And, we're talking, and he says to me, "Rabbi, I have a question. You talk about Passover and your kids love it. My kids want to run away. They're not interested." I told him, I said, "You know why your kids run away? Because you don't even know the story. And if you don't know the story, so for you it's boring. Oh, what do you think your kids think? Of course it's boring." And we spent the next couple of years, we continuously studied, went through the story, went through the Passover Haggadah. It was interesting. Over time, I think he got a little tired of the actual study. We still meet. He's out of town a lot. But it's been great. And I hope that it helped him, and let's hope that some of the, in our little bit of time, we can get through some of what's going on. So first thing you got to wonder, what are we looking to accomplish? What is our goal by the night of the Seder? In the last show, we talked about what happened during the time of the temple and some of the feeling, what was going on and the excitement, but we now have a totally different focus nowadays. There's no sacrifice. We're not going to Jerusalem. I mean, people go on vacation to Jerusalem, to Israel. It's true. But they're not going to bring a sacrifice. They're not going to barbecue a sheep and make sure that everybody gets a certain amount of meat to fulfill the command of the Passover sacrifice. So we're not doing that. So what are we trying to accomplish? And if it's just telling over the story, I guess I read the story. I heard the story before. I know what's going on. Like, what's the big deal? We do all kinds of stuff and songs and the Passover food and family and matzah. So I think we need to focus that knowing a story is very beautiful, but knowing a story doesn't create memories. To create memories, we have to do stuff. Even though everybody knows what you did last year, and the words are the same as they were last year, and the food is probably the same food you ate last year, and the songs are the same songs you sang last year. But if you are alive, if you are excited, if you have the ability to convey the importance of remembering and recognizing and understanding that we are free to serve God, we are God's people, we have the ability to serve God, God loves us and we love God. If you have the ability to feel that, you win. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. I want my children, my grandchildren that will come, I want them to see how beautiful following God's commands can be, how enjoyable running a Seder can be. And I may have to change some things this year. Over the years, I've ended very, very late. And it's hard for some of the younger children. It's hard for their parents, hard for the children. Maybe we'll speed some things up. Maybe we'll, I don't want to say take shortcuts, but we won't allow as much of the give and take if people can't handle it. Because there are things that they want me to talk about. They want to hear how I will describe the plagues. They want to know how I will describe leaving Egypt and what we felt and how we feel and what's going on. And when they see what's going on, when they see all this stuff on the table, and we're going to eat the matzah and eat the lettuce or the romaine lettuce or whatever you happen to eat for your bitter herbs, and drinking the four cups of wine and singing the songs, that those are memories that hopefully they're good memories. Right? We're not in school. We're not disciplining. We're not getting frustrated, which could be hard sometimes with some grandchildren, right? But that's not what's happening, because then the memory is somebody yelled at me, right? The memory has to be a pleasant, enjoyable time had by everyone. That's what we're looking to do. And if it means we have to go a little faster because it's too late for some people, okay, we'll see what we can do to accommodate as best as possible. And the whole evening is set up for this. The father comes home, and he's going to put on this, what's called a kittel. Kittel is like a linen long shirt. It's very good, by the way. It protects your clothes from getting stained. It's not the reason for it, but the idea is being regal. Right? It's reminding us that we are free and we are royalty. Now, as a side point, it is interesting, you know, the idea of running a Seder has been forever. Whether the Jewish people has more money, whether we have less money, whether we're being expelled from countries, whether we're on the run, whether times are calm and peaceful, whether we're worried about pogroms, whether we're worried just about maybe some war coming up around the corner, or a Holocaust, or an expulsion from Spain. Or we get to sit at home, like we do nowadays, thank God. It's just beautiful. But if you're in Israel now, maybe not everybody can be as joyous, right? We have to remember that in some areas, life is beautiful. Some places, life is unfortunately, there's been some tragedies, or a lot of tragedies. Or you're worried about terrorists. but we're still busy focusing on the night at hand. Why? Because we are who we are because of this night. It all starts with this night. God set it up, right? There's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and Jacob has to go down to Egypt with his sons, and the story with Joseph to get them down to Egypt. And then we start to increase, and then all of a sudden the Egyptians get upset, and they don't like us, and they turn us into slaves, and they want to destroy us. And then when God is ready, when we've been slaves, which was part of the plan for us to become God's people, we had to first be slaves. And God says, okay, he calls Moses, and Moses comes down, and Moses speaks to Pharaoh, and then there's going to be 10 plagues, which we get to observe, and we don't suffer. I tell my class over and over, there was not one bit of suffering during these 10 plagues. And you have the plague of blood. The Egyptians have nothing to drink. Everything is blood. The Jewish people have all the water they want, and they can sell to the Egyptian. And that goes on for a week. We can become wealthy from that plague. But all the plagues are happening because of how we were treated. They threw the babies into the river. They killed our children. Right? We weren't just slaves that were working hard. They were butchering us. And the frogs, which is a very entertaining plague to talk about. This big ugly frog comes out of the river. If you want it to be thousands of frogs coming out of the river, and the Egyptians are beating the frog, and it explodes, and there's frogs all over the place. And every time they hit a frog, the frog multiplies, and there's more and more, and then there's just an army of frogs that invade Egypt. And you can't keep the frogs out of the house. They just like waltz right through the wall, like walking through water. And if you're an Egyptian, you open your mouth, the frog is jumping in. And you try to make food, and the frogs are jumping in. And you try to go to sleep, you don't want to yawn because you know the frog is going to crawl in. And you're sharing your bed with thousands of frogs. And the noise is just intense, and you can't sleep. Because the Egyptians used to yell and scream at us. They used to wake us up early and yelling and screaming. You like yelling and screaming? There's going to be lots of yelling and screaming. And then the plague will end, or the frogs die, and you can only imagine the stench of what's going on. And then the ground is turned to like bugs and lice because you made us sweep your floors. You like it clean? We'll show you what's going to happen. You force us to make things clean. You make us make bricks. Can't make bricks because the ingredients for bricks is water, dirt, and straw. To make a brick, right? Well, you can't make a brick if everything is bugs, right? So, and then and those three plagues were just to prove there's a God. Pharaoh says, I never heard of God. Don't know what God is. Don't know who God is. Never heard of him. And then you have the wild animals. They're coming from everywhere, and they just invade the country. But they don't go into the area of the Jews. And they'll attack the Egyptian, and they won't attack a Jew, but if the children want to play, get a ride on the animals, no problem. It's the world's greatest zoo if you're Jewish. And if you're Egyptian, you're hiding and cowering for your life, hoping that the animal had enough breakfast, lunch, and supper that's going to leave you alone. And that plague ends and all the animals leave, and now there's a plague. I think, you know, COVID a million times worse, right? Because all the animals that are Egyptian die. And the only reason the plague doesn't kill Egyptians is because God wants the Egyptians to stick around so that we have what to tell our children that happened in Egypt. So the Jewish people is watching God's miracles, how God, first to know there's a God. Next, you need to know that God is down here and he cares about us. And then it's going to come what's called the boils. And Moses and Aaron are going to take the ashes. They're going to throw it into the sky in front of Pharaoh. And it's going to go everywhere. And wherever those ashes land, all over Egypt, on any Egyptian, it erupts and boils and blisters. And the Jews, it's like, I don't know, did they notice the dust in the air? Maybe. It didn't affect them, right? They made us make their baths super hot and then jump in to cool off the water. I mean, the Egyptians over the years were experts at not only enslaving us, but making us suffer. We need to know that even if God doesn't, you know, take revenge and punish immediately, when God is ready, when the time comes, he takes care of everybody that started up with us. That will happen. This is what we want our children to know, right? We might suffer. We have suffered over the millennia. We've been in exile. But God's going to take care of us. No one gets away with anything. Nothing is free. So after the second group of plagues where we see God controls the world, now the final punishments are on their way in, right? So there's the plague of hail. And hail comes down, and the ice is mixed with fire, and it lands like bombs, and it blows up, and it destroys the crops and destroys trees. But it doesn't affect the houses. You're safe inside the house if you're an Egyptian or in Goshen. For the Jews, it's just like, you know, nothing bothers us, not landing on us, not touching us, not affecting us. And interesting enough, the verse says it only affected the barley and the flax because they ripen early, so those plants are brittle, while the wheat and the spelts are not affected because they're still moist and they're still green. That'll be something left over for the locusts to attack. And then God's army, the locusts is called God's army. That comes in and invades the country. And again, it doesn't bother us. It just gobbles up everything that belongs to the Egyptians. I was actually teaching this plague to my class today. And the Egyptians, the food there's not. But they'll collect barrels and barrels of locusts because they got to have something to eat for the next couple months. And Pharaoh's going to come and say, you got to get rid of this plague. And so Moses says, no problem. And a wind comes and not only blows away the ones that are flying all over the place, but it blows away all the barrels. Now, there is actually food in Egypt because the Jewish farms, of course, were not touched. And when we leave the country, the Egyptians will have that food to survive on. And now we get the plague of darkness. Now, darkness had many purposes. Now, it's interesting to keep in mind, the plagues, it keeps getting worse. So even though technically it would seem that darkness shouldn't bother so much, but it must have been so frightening to be in pitch black. Do you know when they want to try to teach children, there's museums where they want to show what it means to be blind. So they have these like special rooms that you go into, like a tunnel to walk through, where it is so dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And some people become so frightened, they lose it. So if you yell out that you're frightened or you scream, they'll turn on the lights and they'll let the person go out, they'll take care. This was a frightening plague. And the Jewish people are busy searching the house of the Egyptians. They're also feeding the Egyptians. And they're also burying all the Jews who died who didn't want to leave. God says, you don't got to leave. But you ain't, but you're not sticking around. So a 4/5 of the Jewish nation die. And then we get the sheep ready and get it ready for the sacrifice. And we bring the sacrifice in Egypt and we're going to barbecue. And everybody smells the barbecue. And the sheep was their idol, right? So they're smelling their idol being burnt and barbecued. And they can't do anything. God's not letting. And we're sitting down to eat our sacrifice, our Passover sacrifice, preparing that God is going to pass over our houses and not allow any Jew to be hurt. And the Egyptians, all the firstborn, are dying. And that takes place exactly in the middle of the night, which in Detroit is around 1:37. In other parts of the country, it's probably closer to 12:45. Everything depends where you live. And now Pharaoh's, that's it. He can't handle it. Everybody out of my country. Just all the Jews get out. And we leave the next day free. We are finally free. Pharaoh officially freed us. We are not escaping during any plagues because we don't want Pharaoh to say that you snuck out in the middle of the night and you escaped slaves. God's not letting. This is our freedom. We're becoming the Jewish nation because God came in, punished the ones that started up with us. And that's all part of God showing us his love. Then we're going to travel in the desert, and God's going to feed us. He's going to give us the manna, and he's going to give us water, and all marching towards Mount Sinai so we can accept the Torah and become God's nation. And on the way, the Egyptian army is running after us. How could we give the Jews all our gold and silver, and they're not coming back? And what were we thinking? And the army is on its way. And God says, I'm going to take care of you. Just march into the water. And now the music is playing. But you can only imagine how exciting you can make a Seder. The music is playing. I hope you enjoyed it short and sweet. Thank you, of course, to all the wonderful sponsor listeners. I can't do it without you. Thank you to the production team. I have Alan in the back today. Thank you, Alan. I hope I've left some food for thought. Until next time, I'm Rabbi Sweet Jacobson. You've been listening to Let's Talk Torah and I'm a streamcast. Don't forget to think about it.
There's a house we can build. Every room inside is filled with things from far away. Special things.